Well, praise God. This is Sunday morning, August the 22nd. And we're turning to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. And I'm reading everything out of the Amplified this morning. And I may kind of jump back and forth to King James, but the Amplified version really brings out a lot more detail, a lot more understanding. And let's read verse 13. That it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ and the completeness found in Him. So then we may no longer be children tossed like ships to and fro between chance gusts of teaching and wavering with every changing wind of doctrine, the prey of the cunning and cleverness of unscrupulous men, gamblers engaged in every shifting form of trickery and inventing errors to mislead. Rather, let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, enfolded in love. Let us grow up in every way and in all things into Him who is the head, even Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. For because of Him, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments with which it supplieth, when each part with power adapted to its need is working properly in all its functions, grows to full maturity, building itself up in love. So this I say and solemnly testify in the name of the Lord, as in His presence, that you must no longer live as the heathen, the Gentiles, do, in the perverseness, in the folly, vanity, and emptiness of their souls, and the futility of their minds. Their moral standards of understanding is darkened, and their reasoning is beclouded. They are alienated, estranged, self-banished from the life of God, with no share in it. This is because of the ignorance, the want of knowledge and perception, the willful blindness that is deep-seated in them, due to their hardness of heart, to the insensitiveness of their moral nature. Now, I want to go back and refrain a couple of places in these verses in the Amplified. In verse 17, it says, "So this I say," this is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, "So this I say and solemnly testify in the name of the Lord, as in His presence, that you must no longer live as the heathen do, in their perverseness, in the folly, vanity, and emptiness of their souls, and the futility of their minds. Their moral understanding is darkened, and their reasoning is beclouded. They are alienated, estranged, self-banished from the life of God, with no share in it. That is because of the ignorance, the want of knowledge and perception, the willful blindness that is deep-seated in them, due to their hardness of heart." When he said here, "I solemnly testify in the name of the Lord that you must no longer live. You must no longer live as the heathen do. Just must not do it." But we've got a measurement. The believer has a measurement to go by. We've got a measuring tape. We've got something we can look at and we can say, "This is what I want." And when you go back to the verse 13, there's the clue right here in verse 13. That we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection. In other words, that's the goal, is the standard height Every room in here is a standard height. Every room has a special height. One room's not 11 foot, and one room's 10 foot, 8 foot. There's a standard height. Everyone has a standard height that they're pushing toward, and it's in Christ. That's my goal. I know that's my goal, and I can only speak for what I know God has told me. And if He says this is everybody's goal, this is a standard height, then it must be everybody's standard height. It's like you don't have a standard you can go by that I don't have to go by. And I don't have a standard that I go by that you don't have to go by. The standard is Christ. And that's good news, because there's no big I's and little U's in Jesus. We all come up against the same measuring tape. Do you all see what I'm talking about? Thank God He's no respecter of persons. Years and years ago, I read that verse and I thought, man, that's God is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter of persons. And I began to research it and research it and research it. I found it over 30 times. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. It's witnessed 30 times in the New Testament that God is no respecter of persons. There is a standard. There's a standard that is set. And it is, like it says here, I love the Amplified, that we might arrive at really mature manhood. To be a really mature person, we have got all kinds of ideas that we could come up with, and we say, oh, I'm a really mature person. Well, I'm somebody that doesn't, I'm not hot-headed, I don't fly off the handle. You know, when you're in control, basically, is what comes to my mind. Somebody that's in control of their own spirit. Somebody who is in charge. Somebody that just, that under pressure, they do the right thing all the time. Even under pressure. Even when you're under pressure, you still do the right thing. When it's not popular to do the right thing, you do the right thing. When nobody likes it, you still do the right thing. That's a person that's mature. Then they know to do the right thing because they've already got that measurement, that standard. And honestly, if you can't do the right thing in easy times, I'll guarantee you, you won't do the right thing in hard times. If you can't even do the right thing when things are good and easy and you're not under pressure, I promise you, you'll not do the right thing when you're under pressure. That's not the time to start thinking about God, is when you're under pressure or you got a problem. The time to really seek God and get this measure going on in your life is when things are good. That's when you seek God and you start learning the things of God and the precepts of God. He says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Do you know, it comes to me this morning about how offenses have taken more people out of the way of God, more people out of the kingdom of heaven's way than anything else, is offenses. People being offended. But if you love God and you love His word and you love His ways, there's really nothing going to offend you. Nothing is going to take you off of this mark. What Paul said in Philippians, he said, I press toward the mark. Let's look at that verse. It's in Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Let's start with verse 11. Philippians chapter 3, verse 11. That if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. Doesn't that sound like he's pressing toward a spiritual mark? He's pressing toward a spiritual goal. Paul sees that there is a need for him to do some changing, developing, maturing, to grow into a special place where he has attained. You know, if you haven't attained it, it means you don't have it yet. But if you have attained it, that means you've got it, right? If I've attained something, buddy, I've got it. Oh, I got that. I've attained that. Well, that's what he's saying. He said, if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. Not that I have now attained this ideal or have already been made perfect, but I press on to lay hold of, grasp, and make my own that for which Christ Jesus the Messiah has laid hold of me and made me His own. Now listen to this next verse. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. But one thing I do. There's this one thing you have to know, that this is the one thing that you better do. I say, if there's one thing I better do, this is the one thing. If this is Paul's one thing he does, I'll guarantee you it's the one thing we better do. This is a one thing kind of thing. You know what I mean? I'd like to do a lot of things, but this is one thing you don't neglect. This is the one thing you don't forget. If all the things you do, this is the one thing you never stop doing. But one thing I do, let it be my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. So let those of us who are spiritually mature, that's me, you know, you've got to say, that's me. I'm not going to stay a baby anymore. I'm not going to be a wah-wah, feel sorry for me, self-pity, in the molly grubs baby anymore. I just made up my mind. I'm not going to stay here where I am. I'm moving on into perfection. I'm moving on into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. I'm moving on to something. I'm tired of staying stuck in this rut. I'm tired of staying stuck in old me all the time. Pity, pity me. Poor old me. Oh, woe is me. I'm tired of being there. It's time to move on into this fullness of perfection. It's higher ground. Get me on higher ground, Jesus. Yes. Get me on a higher place. Let me move on up. Let me grow a little bit here. Yeah, it hurts. I remember them growing pains, but they're good for me. It means I'm growing. Growing pains mean you're growing. I'm tired of being sick. I'm tired of being tired. I'm tired of being put down. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that bothering me. I'm tired of this being upset. I'm tired of being upset about that. I'm tired of being mad about that. I'm just tired of a lot of things. There's got to be a better place to be. And there is. He's talking about it right here. See the measuring tape? The fullness of the stature, the maturity. It's available. Then why don't we go for it? Well, that's what Paul's doing. He said, this one thing I do. Now, the one thing you better do is forget those things which are behind. That will keep you in the rut. It'll keep you right where you are. Because the more you keep looking at your past, keep looking at what this one did, keep looking at what that one didn't do, and keep thinking about what should have happened, that didn't happen, what could have happened, you got to put all that behind you and act like it does not exist anymore. Wipe it out of your mind. The memory of the just is blessed. I call my memory blessed. I will not go back there. I will not go back there. The devil tries to. I'll guarantee you he'll put a lasso around your mind and he'll try to drag you back there. He'll try to bring you back. And it's amazing how powerful the mind is, because the mind will be right there somewhere where you've been before. And it's like you live it all over again. You live the emotions, you live the thoughts, you live the words, you live everything over again. You live the hurt. It's like, that ain't moving forward. That's not pressing on. But the mind is a powerful part of us. And you better do this if you don't do any. This is the first step. Forget those things which are behind. I've learned something powerful. Is I don't even go back and glory in my accomplishments. I don't even go back there and pat myself on the back. I don't even do that. I do not allow my brain to take me back to anything. Because the past is the past. It's really the past. The past is... past is past. It's past. I can't go back there. I can't live there. Where do you live? Where do you breathe? Where are you right now? I'm in the now. I can... And guess what else? There's a whole future ahead of us. There's heaven ahead of us. There's the kingdom of God ahead of us. And it's a lonely walk sometimes. Do you know that? Sometimes it's a very lonely walk. Just me and Jesus. Me and Jesus. Sometimes I get lonely. Sometimes I like to have someone who will glory with me and who will worship with me. And they'd be excited as I'm as excited as I am. Because I get excited about the things of God. And there's not a whole lot of people who can come to where you are when you're growing in the things of God who can understand where you even are, because they ain't there. But you keep wanting to bring people in. Keep wanting to bring people in. You keep wanting to bring them in and give them a little glimpse of what I see. Let them taste of the Lord and see how good He is. And we really are lights in the world. We really, really are. They look at us and think, wow, they're just quite strange. We're peculiar people. The Word says we're peculiar to the world. I'm not peculiar to me. Are you peculiar to you? I'm quite normal, actually. I think I'm very normal. I think Darlene's pretty normal. I love it when she does her little Indian dance. It don't bother me. Her and Stella was here the other night, and they just had them a hallelujah time. It doesn't bother me. That's wonderful. That's worship. That, to me, that's a worship of the Spirit. Amen. So, this one thing you better do. If you don't do anything else, this is the one thing you better do. Or you'll stay defeated. You'll stay broke. You'll stay down. You'll stay depressed. You'll be needing drugs. You'll need needing something because you ain't got the Holy Ghost to help you out. You got to have something to help you out. You'll find help somewhere. Really. Something's always going to be your help. If God's not your help, something else will be your help. Let me read verse 13 again. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. But one thing I do, it is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind. And I think about Paul, I think, man, he has so much behind him. He could have sat and been so down in the dump so many times. He could have had a biggest old pity party. Do you ever get yourself before the Lord and just get in that mode of prayer and start thinking about all you've been through? Oh God, and just cry and just cry. And I've just done it so many times. I said, Lord, I'm, you know, if they just hadn't have done this, and if that hadn't have happened, if I hadn't have done this, and I'm so sorry I did that, and I'm so sorry I did this, and just feel so sorry for myself. Do you know self-pity is very destructive? Self-pity will kill you. It'll kill you. I refuse to feel sorry for me. I refuse. You know, you've got to understand, we have enemies to our souls. We have got to recognize the devil's number one thing is to keep us defeated and keep us down. He doesn't want us to grow, because if you start growing, you're a threat to him. You're a threat to his kingdom. There's two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. You know what I want? I want him to see me coming. I really do. I want him to see me turning a corner and run. I used to go to grocery stores and witness to people, and they'd see me coming, and they would look around the corner and they'd run. They'd run. I wanted the devil to see me coming. I want to be a threat to him. Now, if he's got me where he wants me, defeated, depressed, upset, you know, I just get angry at the devil. I get angry. I get angry at people, but I've learned that it's really not people to get angry with. It's the devil to get angry with. You get angry with Satan. As you grow in the fullness of the stature of the fullness of Christ, you begin to understand some things. The knowledge, the understanding brings you to a different place. Where he said here, let me read this again, because this is so good. Verse 15, let us of us who are spiritually mature and full grown, and I believe that's us. I believe everyone in here can say that we're not babies anymore. We're not baby Christians in this church. Baby Christians, a lot of them would have already left by now today, because they just wouldn't have understood. What are those people dancing about? You know? Baby Christians are just so touchy. You know? And they don't understand. So therefore, they run from what they don't understand. But see, we understand that there's a gifts and there's talents and there's joy in serving God. And we're not afraid of everything. You hear someone speak in tongues, you're not scared to death and you're not going to run out the door. Remember when you was a baby Christian, you first heard somebody speak in tongues, and the next thing you know, oh my God, where's the door? These people are crazy. That's a baby Christian, because they just don't have any understanding. They don't have any knowledge of spiritual understanding. But now we're not there. We are definitely on a move and on a place where we're moving on into perfection. And he says, so let of us who are spiritually mature and full grown have this mind and hold these convictions, that if in any respect you have a different attitude of mind, God will make that clear to you also. That is a promise that God will absolutely, he will show up sometimes while you're cooking supper and say, you know, you really shouldn't have done what you did there. that wasn't very mature of you to act like that. Did you know that? And then you have to say, yes, sir, you're right. I repent of that. That was wrong. Or you'll be just driving around the car, driving down the road, and the Lord will say, nope, you know, you really shouldn't have tried to cut that one off or chase that one down. That was wrong. Have you ever done that? I've done that so many times and then realized, man, that was pride. That was that road rage is nothing but evil, old, nasty, yucky pride. You are not going to outdo me. One time I got into a race with an old man. I was on a two-lane road. It was in Houstonville. It was in, there was road construction going on at the time. And this old man was driving 30 miles an hour. 30 miles an hour for like a good 5 miles down the road. And there was road construction. It was two-lane. And the road veered off. And then there was a section where it come back on. And there was this still new road that hadn't totally been opened up, but people were still driving it, you know. So I'm thinking, he's going the old road, 30 miles an hour. I'll just go the new road, even though it's not open, and I'll get in front of him because it empties out in the same spot. It's up there in Houstonville. I want you to know, I hit the gas. I'm going 55, something like that, because I got to speed up because he's going 30 or 35, and I got to get around him. Do you know that old man hit the floorboard of his truck, and he blew the whole smoke coming blowing out because he knew what I was doing, and he went 65 miles an hour to keep me from cutting him off. And I had to fly 70 miles an hour down that road just so that man would not get in front of me. He was determined. That woman ain't going to get in front of me. Young men are sometimes bad about that. They're bad as we are. And I'm telling you, the smoke was coming out of that old truck, but he was not going to let this woman get in front of him. Well, I did. Ha, ha, ha. I did. Nancy understands me. But after it was over, I could have killed myself. I was in an unmarked road. Wasn't supposed to even be on there. And I normally would not have been driving that fast, but this guy was determined to cut me off. Oh, I'm sure he was cussing. But the Lord spoke to me after that. And he said, was that important? Was that really that important to you? There's a little bit of truth that kind of raises up and says, no, I'm gonna do this. You are not going to beat me. You know, that's just pride. It really is pride. Because it didn't accomplish anything except just make me feel a little big and bad and strong. But my strength is not in me, it's in him.
That's right.
It really is. There's just so much of us in the way of this maturing process. But as you grow, you learn to just lay these things down. You lay them down. So let us who are spiritually minded and full grown have this mind. And if you don't have this kind of thinking about you, that you're going to press ahead and press for that mark, God will show you. He'll show you when you're missing it. He'll make it clear to you. And then what you do when he does? What happens when he does determines your next stage of growth. Because if you determine, no, God, I like how I'm acting. I think that was just fine. And you can argue with God and say, no, God, that was just fine. I didn't do anything wrong. You've got to say, okay, Holy Spirit. You've got to learn to yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Yep, you're right. That was wrong, and I repent. I have learned to be quick to repent. Say, I'm sorry, Jesus, and mean it from your heart. Mean it from your heart. Mean it from your heart. That's so important. You know, we've been made a partaker of the divine nature of God. And until we understand that we have been made new creations in Christ, that we really are a new creature in Christ Jesus, old things have passed away, all things have become new. We are new creatures in Christ. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We are new creatures. If you want to write that down, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Old things have passed away, all things become new. We are a new creation, a new creature in Christ. The other night I ministered, the Holy Spirit brought forth a message that talked about what God did for us in Jesus. Powerful message. What God did for us in Jesus. He that delivered him up for us all, it's in Romans chapter 8, verse 32 I believe, he that delivered him up for us all, how shall he not by him also freely give us all things? So everything we need to become this mature believer that's walking in the stature of the fullness of Christ. I'm talking free from sin, free from sickness, free from disease, free from oppression, free from the devil's attack. You see, Jesus said, He has nothing in me. I illustrated one time, I said, the Lord showed me that it was just like taking an old plug and trying to plug it into a wall socket. You ever just, nothing more aggravating than trying to plug a lamp in and it keeps falling out of the wall. Keep plugging it in, it keeps falling out of the wall. If the devil ain't got, boy, I was talking like Kentucky now. If the devil ain't got nothing in you. That's real Kentucky. If the devil doesn't have anything in you, he cannot plug into you.
That's
when you can tell, man, I'm growing. I'm growing in some things. He can't tap into that past hurt. He can't tap into that past depression. He can't tap into that past anxiety. He can't tap in and can't make me go get a drink. Man, I wanted sometimes to get a drink. There's been a lot of times in depressed times of my life, and it just forget it. Let's just forget it. It's too hard. Y'all been there? Let's just go get a big one. But that just shows you that there's too much of you in the way still. There's still too much baggage there the enemy's tapping into. He's been able to plug into something.
Right.
Oh, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth.
Oh. Steal no more.
They have a steal no more. The Ephesians, yeah. It goes on. Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stuff that we are used to doing in the old natural man. That's why the new creation is so important, to know who you are in Christ Jesus. There's something that's so empowering is when you get a concordance or get a Bible and begin to study every scripture that tells you who you are in Jesus and who you are in Him. It's amazing the hundreds of scriptures that talk about who you are in Him, because that's when you start realizing that's where your life really is anyway, is in Him. Your life isn't anything outside of Him. If I start trying to look at me and trying to measure up by me, I'm a mess. We've got to have the goal. We've got to have the measuring of Christ to measure to. And let me say this too. Say you fall. Say you make a big mistake. Say you cuss somebody out. Say you flip out. You ever have a flip out moment? I've had a few flip out moments. Beat the kid, kick the dog. You know what I mean? You just want to kill somebody? I mean, have you all never just been human? And I'm so glad that we have a kind and patient, loving God who's not ready to just throw a bolt of lightning at us and knock us out. Because I deserved it. He'll reveal it to you. And then you got an opportunity to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I missed it. I blew it. I failed. I don't want to do that anymore. You know, I really don't want to sin. I really don't. I don't think anybody really wants to, that they're sincere about serving God and going to heaven. Glory to God. I want to go to Psalm 78. This is a neat Psalms. I came across it this morning. Psalm 78, and goes right along with what we're talking about. And let's start with reading with verse 5. We'll read 5, 6, and 7, and 8. For He established a testimony and expressed precept in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, commanding our fathers that they should make the great facts of God's dealings with Israel known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, that the children still to be born might arise and recount them to their children. Now, this is the reason that it was so important that the Jews were commanded to always teach their children the precepts of God in every home. It was a commandment, and it still is very important to the Jewish community to make sure their children know about the exodus out of Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, all the miracles that happened in the wilderness. And they're trained in that as young children. And this is the reason, verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but might keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their hearts aright, nor prepared their hearts to know God, and whose spirits were not steadfast and faithful to God. Okay, now I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I've been born again of the Spirit of God through Christ Jesus. They didn't have Jesus like we did when this was written. But the same principles apply, that we have got to have this mind, that we are to set our hope in God and not forget the works of God, but might keep His commandments. Do you know what the commandment we're supposed to keep now is? There's one commandment that if you keep this one commandment, every other commandment will be already taken care of. Amen. It covers every base. Just keep the love commandment. Amen. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself, and you've got everything covered. If you can do that one commandment, you don't have to worry about anything else. Because you won't steal from your neighbor. You won't lie to your neighbor. You won't lie against your neighbor. You won't try to take something from your neighbor. Because if you love your neighbor as yourself, you'll only do good. Isn't that good? And that's what see, they had a lot of commandments they had to keep. We, under the new covenant, we just have one commandment. And that's to love the Lord our God. And since we have now His divine nature, which is love, it's easy to do. Yes. You know, it's easy to serve God, but it's the hardest thing that you'll ever do. Because you know what? You want to get in the way. You want to get in the middle of it. You want to be involved in it. Because you're the new creature part of us is the part that's got to be developed and educated and trained and developed. It's the spirit man that's got to be raised up. We already are raised up with Him. Do you know when you were raised up? When He was raised up. You know when you were born again? When He was raised from the dead. You know, when were you forgiven? When he died on that cross and was raised from the dead. Every sin was forgiven. You had to accept it. There is no sin problem anymore. That was the greatest revelation to me, that He became the curse that I could be made the righteousness. There is no longer a sin problem in my life personally. See, this is personal. This is such a personal relationship, it is a personal responsibility. It's my personal responsibility to see to it that I develop in the things of God. I can't rely on anybody else to do it for me. If I am sick, now let me say this, and I don't say this lightly. If I'm sick, or say you're sick, I'll feel sorry for you. I can feel sorry for you and feel bad for you. But you know what my whole thing is about sickness? Not you. It's not you. It's the devil. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. You see, Jesus has already destroyed the works of the devil. When I see sickness, I see the works of the devil. And I am so angry at the devil. I'm not angry at the person who's sick. I'm angry at the devil for making that person sick. Or making you sick. Trying to make me sick. It's not me I'm angry with or you. It's the devil. And I know that you have already been delivered. You've already been freed. I truly believe that. I've set to my seal that God is true. Let me show you this verse. This kept coming to me this morning too. I have set to my seal that God is true. It's in St. John chapter 3. Oh, I don't get mad at people, but I am so angry at the devil. You know, I hate the devil. I don't pet the devil. I don't waltz with the devil. I don't talk to the devil. I hate the devil. And if you tolerate what the devil's brought into your life, you're not really hating the devil. Now, I'm going to say that again. If you tolerate what the devil has brought into your life, you really don't hate the devil. If you tolerate anything the devil's brought into your home, you like the devil. Because if you hate the devil, I mean, if you really hated the devil, you would deal with that, you know what. If you really hated him, if you really hated him, and you knew that his works were already destroyed, and you were made a partaker of this divine nature, and you have the same rights that Jesus had, and you know what Jesus has already done with the devil, then you would take your place, and you would destroy the works of the devil also. Put him under your feet. You know, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. He's waiting on the church to rise up and put the devil where he belongs, under their feet.
Right.
As long as we're living with the devil, we're tolerating the devil, we're putting up with the devil, and we're living with the devil, and it's time to get rid of the devil. Am I right or wrong?
You're right. Amen.
Is that a right or a wrong?
It's amen.
It really is an amen. It's a truth. It's a truth. I'm just decided this year I'm going to have my complete vision restored. Everything that belongs to me, I'm going to have it. I'm going to have it. I'm going to walk in divine health. I'm going to walk above sickness. I'm going to walk above disease. I'm going to, and then I'm going to operate in the things that of the gifts of the Spirit to see others delivered from the works of the devil. Isn't that good?
That's good. That's awesome.
It has to be something you've decided to do, though.
Praise God.
It has to be a seal. Do you know what a seal is? Do you ever buy a box of cereal or anything that's sealed up good? A good example of it is a bottle of Tylenol. Remember when they had that Tylenol outbreak and people were dying? Because someone had put poison in Tylenol and they put these new tamper seals on everything. So they can't. So if that seal is broken, you are not to take anything that has a seal broken, even milk or anything like that on the supermarket shelves. So if you look at John 3, St. John 3:33, and I'm going to go, actually, let's go to verse 31. This is such an empowering verse. St. John chapter 3, verse 31. Now this is pretty out there. This is pretty out there what I'm sharing, because a lot of Christians get offended, right or wrong. Well, we used to say in the little Pentecostal churches, oh me or oh my, you know, oh me or oh my. But verse 31 says, is this Jesus talking? No, this is John the Baptist talking. John the Baptist says, he who comes from above heaven is far above all others. He's talking about Jesus, though. He who comes from the earth belongs to the earth and talks the language of the earth. Most people are there. Most Christians are there. They still talk in the language of the earth. His words are from an earthly standpoint. He who comes from the heaven is far above all others, far superior to all others in prominence and in excellence. Verse 32, it is to what he has actually seen and heard that he bears testimony, and yet no one accepts his testimony, but one receives his evidence. No one receives his evidence as true. Now you got to remember, we're talking about two languages, two ways of thinking, two ways of life. The heavenly language and way of looking at life, which is far above heaven, far above the earth. And then you've got the earthly standpoint, the words that are from the earth. Now he who comes from heaven, this is verse 31, he who comes from heaven is far above all others, far superior to all others in prominence and in excellence. I mean, you can get that, can't you? You can see that there's a place, a language that we are to attain to because we're in Christ, made to sit in heavenly places. We're joint heirs with Christ, right? This is the church. And it is to what he has actually seen and heard that he bears testimony. Can you share and testify anything that you've never seen or heard? Can you talk about anything you don't know anything about? But if you know, and you've seen, and you've heard, then you've got a testimony. Every one of us have seen things supernaturally, and we have a testimony. And you can share it, whether anybody else understands it or not, you know. You know it's the truth. And it's because it came from heaven. It's a heavenly thing. It's not an earthly thing, but believe me, if you had an earthly testimony, everybody earthly would so understand you. They would grasp that because that's where they're from. That's what they understand. But when you start walking in the things of the supernatural world, and you start talking about things that are in heaven, heaven's language, and having an understanding of heaven, nobody's going to receive your testimony. Nobody's going to understand you. But look what he says in verse 33. Whosoever receives his testimony, talking about Jesus, has set to his seal of approval to this: God is true. That is your seal. And it is something you have learned. You learn to put this seal on every single thing you do and allow in your life, that God is true. God is true.
Amen.
And if your measuring tape has not got that God is true, you're coming short. You're not measuring yourself to that God is true set measurement. It's like, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Well, I get this vengeance thing also. I want to show vengeance to the devil. I want to put him in his place. Do you see this, devil? This is what the Word says about you. This is what the Word says I can have. That's my seal has set that God is the truth, and that's what I'm going to have. And you have to bow the knee to the name of Jesus. That is my set seal. I have set this seal that God is the truth. That is what I have set my seal on. Everything I can receive from God, that's what it's going to be, my seal. I've put my seal of approval. You see, you got to have a seal too. God is, whoever accepts and believes the testimony of what He has said about you, or who you are in Him, you have set to your seal. You've got to have a standard within your heart that you will not cross. You know, a lot of people have lines. You ever draw a line in the sand? And you say, I'm not going to cross that line. I've set a line. I've got a line drawn. I'm not going to cross that line. Everybody has a point where they will not go any. It's like you have made up your mind. This is the way it is, and I'm not going to change. You set to your seal. This is setting to your seal that God is true. Now, if you want a mamby-pamby around with the devil and waltz with him and play with him and pet him and just try to get along with him and just try to live with him and deal with him, shame on you. Shame on me. I got to set to my seal that God is true. God is true. I've set that to my seal. And I've drawn the line in the sand. This is the way it is. I will not back off. That's the goal. That's maturity. When you set your seal that I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to steal, I'm not going to cheat, I'm going to set to my seal God is true. That's my seal. His seal's my seal. He's talking about heaven stuff. I want to know heaven stuff too. But if you have never experienced heaven, you can only witness what you've experienced. You know, what does it say? What you tolerate, you can't change. What you tolerate, you will never change. But once you make up your mind that you're going to move up to a different standard, I've set my seal. God is true. This is the truth. So there must be something wrong with me. If I'm allowing the devil to have ascendancy over the Word of God, there's something wrong. Y'all see what I'm talking about? The devil is not to usurp itself over us. Those demon spirits are not to have rule over our spirits. We've said to our seal, God is true. And then he says, if you've received that testimony, you have set his seal of approval on this, God is true. That man has definitely certified, acknowledged, declared once and for all, and is himself assured that it is divine truth, that God cannot lie. You know, I've kind of started reading the Amplified Version more and more these days, because for 30 years I've read nothing but the King James. And I went to buy a Bible the other day, or a couple months ago, and Your Joyce Meyer study Bibles are in Amplified. Most of Gloria Copeland's ministry is in Amplified. And I began to research the Amplified Bible, and it is the closest to the original transcripts in clarity. It brings things out in a way that the King James just doesn't do. Because for one thing, King James is a very old language. And some words we don't even use anymore. And not that it's a bad language, it's just that this is just so more amplified. You know what I mean? It just makes things a little clearer, crisper. Has the same meaning. I've compared them, and I don't see anything skewed in the translation. In fact, it's just pronounced clearer. That man has definitely certified. I have definitely certified some things. I've just decided that to be steadfast in the Lord and the things of God, it's really my part. It's really up to me to do my part. In Psalm 78, I'm going to 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but might keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their hearts aright, nor prepared their hearts to know God, and whose spirits were not steadfast and faithful to God. Their spirits were not steadfast and faithful to God. They didn't set their hearts to know God. They didn't set their hearts aright. They didn't prepare their hearts to know God. There's something called, I think it's called BOTSM. It's an acronym for a belief that we kind of accept because of our family raising. There's certain set beliefs, belief systems that we've allowed to penetrate us and control our lives. And they really are hard to break. These belief systems that are part of our childhood. We've watched our parents. We've watched our families. We've watched, you know, we've through things in our own lives. We've developed belief systems that it's okay for this to happen, or it's okay for that to happen. That those are acceptable standards of life. Ever had anybody tell you that it's okay to get smacked around a while, a couple of times? A few times, everybody gets smacked around. I've had people tell me that. A woman told me, said, you know, my husband smacks me around. Says, all men do that. It's okay. They're a belief system. That's a belief system that's hard to get out of people's minds. To break that idea that it's okay for a man to smack on a woman. I've now set to myself a seal, the standard, that I'm not going to change that. I'm not going to let a man hit on me.
Amen.
Some women do. And because they set that standard at that mark, they let it happen. Not this woman, not this girl. And the thing is, when you set that standard, everybody knows your standard. Everybody knows. Especially the one who's going to hit you. Because they ain't going to do it. I don't know why I'm sharing all this, but you set your heart to know God, and see, if you don't do that, you're rebellious. I'm not rebellious. If we don't set our heart to know God and absolutely come and conform our lives and come to that measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ and measure ourselves by that measurement and not our own belief system and not what we've been taught and not what we think is right, not what we hope is right, but we have a measurement of a standard and we are always pushing toward that, pressing toward that mark. I'm going to keep changing, God. I'm going to correct this wrong way of thinking. I'm going to correct this thing I've allowed in my life. I want to change that. I'm going to set myself to be knowledgeable about heaven. And then I'm going to set that to my... When I find out heaven's all about that, that's what I'm going to set to my seal. You see, when Jesus told the disciples, He said, whatever you bind shall be bound, and whatever loosed, you shall be loosed. Would you give a 5-year-old child that authority, that kind of authority, if a child didn't know what was right to be bound or right to be loosed or right to be opened up? You wouldn't. You only give that kind of authority and power to someone who knows what's right to be bound, what's right to be loosed. So what's your standard to know whether I should bind this or bind this? I remember I used to bind everything. Used to loose everything. But I didn't understand all about the principles behind binding and loosing. So as I've sought the Lord and I've come into measure, I'm pushing toward that measure, the Lord shows has begun to show us, the church has begun to realize that this, what he said in John, heaven talks about heaven, and you come to understand what's allowed in heaven, then you won't allow, you'll only want what is the standard in heaven to be in your life and the family, your lives and your family around you. And when you begin to realize you've been given power to set that standard through your words, the authority that you've been given, you can literally bind what the devil's doing because the devil's been bound in heaven. In other words, whatever is bound, you can bind. If it's bound in heaven, you can bind it on earth. If it's loosed in heaven, you can loose it on earth. Isn't that exciting?
Yes, it is.
But if you don't know what's loosed, you won't know what to loose. If you don't know what's bound, you won't know what how to bound, what you can bind. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Whatever you bind shall be bound. But it's first got to have been bound in heaven. Heaven is the measuring stick. Heaven is the ruler. Heaven standards the name above every name.
That's right. Amen.
Isn't that good to know? But this is the standard. I've set to my seal. Let every man be a liar, but let God be true. I've set an anchor to my soul that God is, it's impossible for him to lie. God is true. And when the devil knows you know something from your heart, he can't do nothing with you. Can't do nothing with you. That's why it's so important to grow. That's why it's so important to know who you are in Christ. Because then it becomes Jesus talking through us. It becomes his authority,
yes,
flowing through us. It becomes his word, becomes our word.
Amen.
We become one with him in the spirit.
Amen.
That's the goal. That's the maturity.
Amen.
And then we can actually be Jesus to people. I got to be Jesus to me first. Be good to me first. Love others as I love myself. It's Daniel chapter 6, verse 25. But it was after that these hungry, ferocious lions' mouths had been shut. And it was such a testimony to this king. And look what he decreed. And this is our decree. It's verse 25 of chapter 6 of Daniel. Then King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, and languages in his realm. And that was a lot of people. That dwelt in all the earth, may peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring and steadfast forever. And his kingdom shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even to the end of the world. He is a Savior and Deliverer, and he works signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. See, we've been delivered from the power of the devil, who walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. This is the decree. You have to set this in your heart too. This is a decree I said in my heart. No weapon formed against me can prosper. And every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, I condemn. I've set to my seal that this is the truth. And I can testify what I know. This is what I know. And I won't back off of it. And I won't bend, I won't break, I won't shake, I won't move. I'm not going to get in the mully grubs. I'm not going to get feeling sorry for myself because I know that's the devil's playground. You ain't taking me there, devil. You're not taking me to that pity ground. I'm not going on that ground over there. I'm staying right over here on a rock. I'm staying right over here on what I know is the truth. That's a lie. This is the truth. I ain't going to feel sorry for myself no more. I got bigger fish to fry. I got bigger goals set ahead of me. I got big hills to climb. I got some better things to do than to feel sorry for me. I ain't going to give you another minute of my day. I'm not going to give you another minute. You're not going to get one more tear out of me. Not one more. Nothing makes the devil more upset when he can't pull you into the arena of self and self-pity. Because then he knows, man, there's some growing going on here. She's really coming up. She began to see heaven and what's available to her. And then you're a threat. Now he'll have to try another strategy to keep you down and beat and destroyed and depressed. But just be like that plug. Nothing can hang in there. It keeps falling out. Give him less and less to work with. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Sickness and diseases of the devil. You say that in some churches and they'll throw you out.
Yep.
But it is still the truth.
That's right.
It's still the truth.
Amen.
It's not. It's part of the. It's part of the curse.
Yes.
It's not part of the blessing. What you tolerate, you will not change. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Well, that vengeance has got to be in us against the devil. I hate the devil. I do not tolerate the devil. Just don't tolerate him. I'll put up a battle. You know, I might come out with a black eye or two, but buddy, you'll know I've been in a fight. I just don't lay down and let him roll over me anymore. Used to. Father, I just seal this word this morning. I seal this word. And I set it, God, in every heart. That we're gonna take up that whole armor, and we're gonna take on the whole armor, and we're gonna be the soldiers you called us to be. We're gonna walk in that vengeance of the Lord, and we're gonna know how to wield the sword of the Spirit, and we're gonna know how to walk in the things of the Spirit. We're gonna know what belongs to us. We're gonna know who we are in you, Lord. Give us the revelation knowledge of who we are in you and what we possess in you. And we'll not lay down. We'll just not lay down and give up anymore. I won't give him no more ground, Father. I give him no more. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.